money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Well, that's good, because if it was just me talking money, then I would have to introduce our guest that much earlier. So before we introduce our guest, and if you're on YouTube, you've probably already seen him. But if you're listening on the podcast or on the radio show here on 99.1 in the Ottawa area, of course, then you don't know who the guest is that we have in the studio yet. So a little bit of suspense there for those that are listening. Today's show is, Reb, it is sponsored by, I'm trying to read Reb's writing, terrible, LTR Industries. We are great friends with LTR, and we're just thankful for their sponsorship. They're part of the reason that we get to keep doing the show. And crazy as it sounds, people keep telling us to keep doing the show. So we're going to keep doing it as long as we possibly can. So thank you, LTR Industries. If you are looking for creating a beautiful space, a workspace, the LTR Industries is a commercial manufacturing factory, so they create beautiful workspaces in the commercial space. So if you're looking to get your commercial space upgraded or doing some of that, reach out to LTR, and I'm sure they can help you do that. So thank you. Great. Again, let's introduce our guest.
Right. All right. Now. Oh. It is such a privilege to have you here. This is Bashir, for those of you who can see him on YouTube, Bashir Bastian. And we just met you recently and had a great connection. Could you tell us just a little bit about yourself? Because we've invited you here to tell your story of how God's cared for you. It's one of the shows we're trying to have regularly throughout 2025, just to give God such praise and glory and encourage God's people with stories. Mm-hmm. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So first of all, thank you so much for having me today. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast today. So for those of you who are wondering who I am, my name is Bashir Bastien. I was born and raised in Haiti by a single mother. So I'd like to say this defines me, to be honest with you. So after high school, I went to Taiwan, where I got a scholarship funded by the government of Taiwan. I did my bachelor's in economics, and then I got an MBA. And after I graduated, I worked for 3.5 years as a sales manager. Then afterwards, I decided it was time to try something new. Then I came to Canada. That was in 2023. And ever since I came, I have been working in the financial industry. And right now I work for RBC as a credit resolution officer. So okay. I get to see folks getting into debts every single day, and we try to help them find ways out of debt. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, I am also a life coach. I am a leadership expert, and I love spending time with people. Mm-hmm. And that is me in a nutshell. And I'm very happy again to be here.
And we got connected with you through a pastor friend, I think, of yours. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, because you do some seminars as well. Tell us a little bit about those just for a minute.
Yeah, sure. Chris Stevens, because I'm the kind of person, when I do something, everybody around me knows about it. Okay. And I was talking to Chris. Yes, I know some guy. He's a very great guy. His name is David. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to connect you to him. And then he did. And then David was pretty quickly, he was pretty quick. He just got back to me, and then we got connected. Mm-hmm. And there was that connection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like, again, God was working.
Yes. You know?
Yeah. So it's because I do those workshops I have a new set of workshops that I do on financial literacy, mostly focusing on credit cards.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So this is one of the biggest consumer debt people can get themselves into.
Yes.
So I was talking to Chris, because I think he used to work for TD in the past. So he knows the financial industry. So he knows those things. So he thought, if he put me in touch with David, we could do something together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're working on that, and we'll keep everybody posted. But for now, I just wanted to give everyone some context. Like, why is this man on the show? You know, how do they
just
know?
Because we talk money.
Just okay. Honest, yes. Yeah. Okay. So, and he's with RBC, and we did let him come on the show. Sorry. I couldn't resist that little thing. Ouch. I know. Ouch. You work
we
with banks.
We might have to edit that out.
I know.
Like,
you work with banks.
We get in trouble for that.
No, I know. So. You work with banks and lenders, and you time. Know, we, It is wonderful. They do a service for our communities. So it's good. As you do working for them. So, okay, let's start with the scripture verse, because usually we start with scripture, but I wanted you to share what was a meaningful in light of God's providing for you and what you want to share today. What is that verse for you?
So that would be Matthew 6, verse 26. It goes like this. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?
Hmm. And why, like, that is one of the most beautiful passages that
it's one of my favorite chapters in all of scripture.
Yes,
I mean,
it is.
One of the many, but yes, it is up there in the top 20.
It certainly is. So why is this verse important for you?
So that would take me back to my story. Okay. That was in 2026, I was graduating, you know, from university. You know, I was happy. Yes, I am getting that diploma that I've worked really hard for. But underneath it all, my parents were sick back home.
Is that in Haiti or
where? I was in Taiwan.
And
but they were in Haiti at
okay.
the time. And then I was not fully happy. Mm-hmm. You know, I was sending every penny that I had back home, you know, to cover medical needs. And I did not know what I was going to do. So do I do a master's degree? Do I go to work? And I was being rejected left and right, you know, applying for jobs anyways. And then there was one story, and that was in 2026 again, that same year. I had an unpaid internship, and then I was driving from that internship. I was going home, and then my scooter broke down right in the middle of the street. That was a very old scooter that I had bought from a friend at church. It costed me $5,000, NTD, wow. Newton wow. dollars. That would have been around 200 $150 US.
Oh, okay.
Ish. A very old motorcycle. And I was using it. So it broke down in the middle of the street. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, it was rush hour during that time. And I was so embarrassed. And then one guy who was also on his motorcycle saw me. And then he came, uses his foot. He pushed me to the nearest mechanic. Mm-hmm. Again, God was working. Because if he didn't help me, that would have taken me three times longer to get to that nearest mechanic by myself, you know, pushing that motorcycle.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so when I got to the mechanic, he said, he checked the scooter. He said, the engine broke down.
Okay.
So usually we had that small light on the scooters, like that tells you when to replace the engine oil. But I never had that light. But I would know it mentally. I know when to replace the oil. But at that time, I was so sad. Things were so bad for me that I forgot to replace the engine oil. He said, sorry, the engine broke down. You have to replace the entire engine. So remember that I told you I bought the scooter for 5,000.
Yeah.
But then he said, you have to replace the engine for 4,000 NTD. I'm like, darn it. That's almost the same price that I bought the scooter. And then I'm like, so I'm thinking, I have three choices. Buy a new scooter. Maybe, you know, take the bus or take a cab to work, to my internship. Or just fix the engine. Mm-hmm. The third option was better. The best option. So I had to fix the engine. So I fixed it for 4,000. That's all I had. Mm-hmm. That was the end. That was the one time in my life that's all I had. Mm-hmm. I gave it to him, and then I'm like, I'm walking home now. I'm thinking, okay, how am I gonna feed myself the following day? Mm-hmm. And then somehow out of the blue, an engineer friend of mine called me. He said, "We need your help." I was living, to give you some context, I lived in Hsinchu. Hsinchu is a science park in Taiwan. So it's like the semiconductor, I would say, capital of the world.
Okay.
So we have all those companies that manufacture your smart devices, just, you know, your wearables. So that company was making smart watches. So at the time in 2016, those devices weren't working well on black skin, like darker skin, because they wouldn't really read our heart rate. Mm-hmm. So they invited me. All I had to do was go on the treadmill, run with the device on, you know. I love exercising anyways, and I'm making money out of it, and it would pay me.
Nice.
So I went, and then the following day I went and then ran for 3 or 4 hours, and I made at least $2,000. So half of what I just spent on the engine.
Right. Mm.
So that taught me, even in the most uncertain time, God is providing.
Mm.
I'm feeling very emotional because that was really a dark moment for me at the time.
That those moments are so, I'm going to say they carry with you throughout your whole life. Going back to the emotion of it, you know, I was just entering into your story and thinking of my own story and going, I can be at the bottom of the barrel and see God's faithfulness. And here we are sitting in the studio together now, many years later. Right.
Yeah.
So
it's actually a sacred space, and it's a sacred thing to remember it with you, to hear you share it. And I think anyone who's listening today is probably recalling those bottom moments where you just don't know, but somehow, and it wasn't like you got like a check that dropped from the sky. It was actually a work opportunity. Mm-hmm. And God answers in so many different ways for us, as I'm sure. And at that time, like, did you grow up in a Christian home? Were you taught to follow Jesus early on? Or
yes, I grew up in a Christian home, but I would say that that year really marked the year that I really became to know Christ on a personal level. So I remember having a pastor. That was November 28th, 2016. I will never forget that day. He asked me, you know, were you raised in a Christian family? And I said, yes. Like, he looked at me, he's a white guy with his blue eyes. Like, no. You were raised in a Christian family, but do you know why you believe in God? And then I had never really thought about it that way.
Mm.
So that's when I really started to actually start thinking, so why am I a Christian?
Mm. Yeah.
Why? Because I've been told things up till that time. And that's when I realized, you know what? I need to actually start to understand things for myself.
Wow. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that started your journey.
Reading the Bible. So yes. I was on a journey to read the Bible to try to make a sense of it myself.
Mm-hmm.
How have you, so that was a huge need that was met in that moment. Do you have any other moments where you recognize, oh man, God was really, really taking care of me?
I mean, yeah, like I said, I was born and raised in Haiti. So if you know Haiti, things are tough.
Yeah.
And then being raised by a single mom makes things even worse. You know, my mom put me through high school. And up till today, I have no idea how she did it. Mm. She did not have a job. And yet, I finished high school. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think God provided through the kindness of friends, you know, her ex-colleagues, maybe church groups that supported us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons why I had decided, you know what, I am not going to make her spend more on me. So when I was about grade 11, when I learned of the opportunity to go to Taiwan, I worked really hard, doubly hard, to make sure that my scores were high enough so that I would be qualified to get a scholarship to go to Taiwan. And I would say that I did work really hard because I was one of the 8th participants out of 300 who applied for that scholarship that year to get that scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was part of my hard work. I'm proud of myself, but yet God was working because I wasn't better than the participants. So God provided. So when I got that scholarship and I went to Taiwan, I removed a huge burden on my mom's back.
Yeah. Is your mom still alive today?
She is very well alive. Yeah. She lives in Florida right now.
Oh, good.
We speak 3 times a day. Oh. I'm telling you, if I don't call her, she's like, where are you? Mom, please.
That makes me laugh because of my relationship with my own children. They'd probably shoot me if I called that often. What do you want? We just talked. So now that it sounds like you've come through various stages of financial well-being, let's say, mm-hmm. over what is a constant for you? Like, is it like, are you happier, more at peace, are you more settled because you have more income now? Or like, what would you say to that? Like, in all of these moments of your life, as you reflect back, like there's a lot to your story, like a lot that you're not sharing even, but you know, you've got Haiti, Taiwan, you speak how many languages do you speak? Three?
Uga.
Okay. Five. Okay.
I just spoke Chinese to you.
Okay. Oh my goodness. I know that. I don't even know. Like, yeah. Anyway, but what is the insight that you could offer to people having experienced different stages of financial well-being?
Believe in God. You know, when things are hard, because I like to say that even for me, the biggest challenge that I've always had was to work by faith and not by sight. You know, when things are doing okay, when, you know, everything is fine, it's okay to be happy. It's easy to be hopeful. When you cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, that's when things get hard. So that's when you need to remind yourself that God is your ultimate provider. Mm. And you talked about peace of mind. So that peace of mind really came to me in 2016, on November 28th, like I said earlier. Not because that I'm more financially stable right now. I think even if I wasn't, I think I would still feel at peace because I know God will ultimately provide.
Yes.
You know, so I think that's what makes me feel a lot stronger, a lot at peace with myself right now. Mm-hmm. Mm.
I find it interesting in your story, not to see that there's the walking by faith, as you said, but there's also the working by faith in it and going, okay, I, you know, whether it was in grade 11 and saying, okay, this is, you know, the motivation for you was to take the burden off your mother, but yes, that opens up a whole unknown life that you can now look back on and go, yes, oh, I see these steps. I see where God was. But in grade 11, that was the working by faith. Exactly. I just know that this is the opportunity that's in front of me that I can do, and I'm going to work towards it and allow God to kind of lead that as you take each step. And I think that's a really powerful part of your story, but also a powerful part that we can enter into to say, often it feels like that there's an opportunity and we sometimes say no, right? We say, no, I can't do that, or I shouldn't do that, or I, you know, and just saying yes sometimes, say, no, it's going to be hard work and it's going to be a lot of work and I'm going to have to, but this is the opportunity God's put in front of me. And, you know, that I honor you, but I also identify with that in the stories that we hear and in our own story, that there's a working by faith as well.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That's an interesting idea, actually, that because some days I would say in the moments that have been hard for us, you just want to kind of stay buried in your bed or
oh, yeah.
like, how did you get up some mornings?
Well, for me, it's always been, I mean, during that time, I think when I was working really hard, I was motivated. Okay. Because I knew I needed to put in the work. Okay. We just have to make one step.
One step at a time.
Yeah. And then God will make it 99 steps. But I know that step was for me to work hard.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just the way it works.
And I think sometimes the one step is getting out of bed. Like, you know, okay, what's the step after that? Well, taking a shower and you know, that momentum builds.
And, you know, and we say it simplistically, but for some folks, that literally is where they're at. And it's a struggle. And right now, you know, if listeners who are listening are finding it, their financial situations difficult, like we're hoping that you are hearing the encouragement. Like you do get up, you do that next right thing. And you trust God to strengthen you for the task, I imagine. Because did you have times when you just knew God was giving you the strength for it?
I would say yes. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that. So in terms of motivation, for folks who may not find the motivation to get out of bed, I think one thing that really motivated me, because I was at school at the time, it's the fact that I knew there were people that relied on me. Mm-hmm. So at the time I was writing articles, I was being invited by school organizations to speak to students who were themselves going through things that were worse than myself.
Yeah.
So I knew I needed to be a model for them. And even mm-hmm. till today, I am still in contact with some of them who text me and said, you know what, when things were really hard for me, you were there for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So try to find somebody that needs you. Because you're not on your own, you know.
Wow.
Don't make it your own journey. Because those folks saw something in me and I needed to be there for them. So mm-hmm. that actually motivated me to give my best.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a really interesting intersection that God puts in our lives when there's someone who shows up on your doors, metaphorically speaking, and has some needs that might be greater than your own. So for yes. anyone who's listening, and that might be a vehicle for you to be the hands and feet of Jesus, really. We talk about having open hands up more than enough. You know, we don't want to walk around with clenched fists because we want to be able to receive from the Lord the provision and the gifts and the sustaining and the strength mm-hmm. so that it doesn't just stay with us, but we can receive it and then it flows out to others. So that's really what you're saying.
Yes.
That's really interesting. If you could encourage people with one thing on your journey, like I mean, in a nutshell, we're hearing that God has provided through you for mm-hmm. you in all kinds of situations, both financially and otherwise, I'm sure. What would you encourage people with today?
There's the prayer of serenity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I have it. Do you want to read it? I have it. I printed it out for you because you sent it to me.
Yes. So God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to finish the entire?
Yeah, I want you to read the rest because you wrote those words, the rest of it. Yeah.
Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, mm-hmm. taking as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
So God is the ultimate provider. Mm. Things can be tough. Things can be hard. You don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But believe that some way, somehow, God is working. If I knew how to sing, I would have sang the song Waymaker, but don't have a beautiful voice. I'm sorry. That's a song that I cried, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, somehow, some way, God is working.
Even if
you don't feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is making a way. He is the way maker.
Yes.
But that accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as we'd have it be.
Yes.
Because that can sometimes keep us in bed, as we've been saying, right? It's just not happening out there the way my expectation. I'm disappointed because, you know, if I do, you know, even as a Christian, if we do see things a certain way or even our beliefs, you know, I've done all the right things and it doesn't see the right things in quotes, and it doesn't seem to be happening the way we wanted it to. And one of the words that I got years and years ago was, can you let go of the end result? You know, you do what you know, you feel God is leading you to. You look to him as provider and then give the end result up to him. And that's really hard, actually.
Yes.
But, you know, there's an encouragement in that going all the way back to Matthew 6 when you read that this morning. And one of the themes through Matthew 6 is the value, recognizing, remembering, accepting, believing that you are actually a value to the God of the universe, to the one who created you, the one who knows all the hairs on your head, the one who knows your dreams and knows your, that God you are valuable to him. And again, going back to Matthew 6 in numerous places, but certainly in the verses that you read, you know, comparing to the birds of the air and saying, listen, you know, we live in a great place and sometimes we don't like the birds.
The birds are up very early.
They're up early.
And we're like, you know,
so, or they're noisier or, but to go, okay, wait a minute. When I see God and I remember this verse and I say, okay, Lord, there's the bird and they aren't working. You are taking care of them. Yes. You are doing your thing. They're doing their thing in light of how you've created them and designed them. And then I can go, you've created me and designed me. And I'm okay. So yes. Lord, what are we up to today? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And starting with that. And again, your story of just, okay, I'm going to work in faith. I love that. Yes. And I think that's my takeaway from your story mm-hmm. this morning is that. Yes. So.
So I think we want to leave listeners also with something that you wrote in a note to me is that you want to encourage people that God sees them.
Yes.
Yeah. And how, just because we're coming to the end mm-hmm. of the show, why is that important thing to know? You know, you've even said it, how valuable we are, but what's important to know about this and trusting God for provision?
So first of all, it helps you put things in perspective. Mm-hmm. It helps you know that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, you know, you think, okay, so what am I doing? I have no one to rely on. And even when I was going through those struggles, I really had no one to talk to. Because mm-hmm. I've been living all by myself since mm-hmm. 2011. But knowing that I had somebody that I could rely on mm-hmm. actually helped me. So yeah. Just know that you are not alone. Mm-hmm. You really are not alone.
Yeah, and it's true. And it is true. And your life is a representation of that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Are you going to pray? Or am I going to pray?
Usually we pray at the end of the show.
I was looking for the cue from you, Rev. So, well, we will. Lord, we want to just give you glory for Bashir's life and the story that is still being written for mm-hmm. him. And Lord, we thank you that we can look around something as simple as our surroundings, as the birds of the air, and see your faithfulness in the way that you care for them and know that this is how you care for us as mm-hmm. your creation, as your kids, as we just thank you, Lord, for mm-hmm. your great love for us. It's manifest in all of that in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Bashir.
Thank you mm-hmm. so very much for having me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we want to thank, I'm going to do this.
You are. Yeah, good. Yeah, okay.
We want to thank LTR Industries for sponsoring today's show. And you can find them in our show notes today. And we want to thank you for joining us. And we'll talk to you next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.